This is Doug Miller. You know, the devil hates the Lord Jesus Christ, and he hates you too, particularly if you're identified with Christ. Stick around, let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue. And we are privileged to be back with you one more time this side of eternity to speak into this microphone and to send this word out over the airways and out to as many as we can get it out to. We are absolutely confident that the Lord will always honor his word, that it will not return to him void, that it is sharper than a two-edged sword and pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you are listening right now, praise the Lord. You ought to thank God because you can be under the sound of the Word of God, and some of you who are listening are not saved. Nevertheless, God in His graciousness is allowing you one more time to hear this Word. I trust you will take heed, and if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Time's running out for all of us. Now bring your Bibles. We're in the 8th chapter of Acts. Open up to Acts 8. And we will take it up at around verse 11. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization. We are utterly and absolutely dependent upon you for your prayers, for your support. We are a faith ministry, and we, of course, would always love to hear from you. Always a great pleasure to hear from our listeners. Any way we can help you, we would be glad to do it. With materials, the broadcasts are absolutely free. And, in fact, you can go online and pull down these messages on our webpage. That's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. And also, if you would like to, you don't like to sit down and write a letter, well, you can email us. If you want to write me a letter, it's Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Or if you want to email, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Okay, what else can I tell you? I'm going to give you our phone number. The phone number is 405, area code 405-568-5048. The reason I'm giving you this, I give it out from time to time. Now, you won't, if you call, no one's going to answer and say, hello, how are you, or anything. You're going to get a recorded message from me, but you just leave a message and I'll get back with you. The reason I'm giving you this, I told you last week, we are a number of us are involved in getting a new assembly church, if you will, started in the Edmond, Oklahoma area. Now, this is one of the so-called brethren assemblies, and if you've, I don't know, some of you will know about the brethren, some of you will not, but I told you last time, some of the most powerful Christians you can imagine, H.A. Ironside, C.I. Schofield, and Watchman Nee and Jim Elliot, those are the ones that you would know. George Mueller. These men were all associated with the brethren. I tell you that so you will realize that what you're going to get among the brethren is sound, solid teaching, nothing that you need to be worried about. You will grow and prosper and profit greatly. So if you're unchurched or looking for a church, get in touch with me. And because we're just getting started. And we need some people who are willing to come out and stand with us in this ministry. Okay, what else? I believe that'll do it. Let's look at the Word of God, shall we? Okay. Last time we were in here, we saw Philip. He goes down to Samaria, starts preaching the gospel. The Word says he preached Christ unto them. But, of course, if you're preaching Christ in this dispensation we're living in, what are you preaching? Well, among other things, that he died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that he is coming back again, and he shall rule and reign forever, King of kings and Lord of lords. So I'm sure Philip was talking all of that. But notice how quickly the enemy moves to try to squelch this, to scotch it. Well, he tried that in Jerusalem, didn't he? In Jerusalem, he had his individuals. They were called the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, and they tried to put an end to the preaching of the gospel by beating the apostles and threatening them and telling them to stop. And, of course, we finally get the killing of Stephen at the end of the seventh chapter of Acts. Then we get the apostle Paul, who is at this time unsaved and still just known as Saul of Tarsus, and he's going to put a stop to it. Philip goes down to Samaria, and you know, this is interesting, isn't it? The devil has a lot of ways to work. And the head-on, I will kill you if you don't shut up approach, is not generally the one that works best for him. You start that I'll kill you if you don't shut up stuff, and you get Christians digging their heels in and saying, well, come on, if that's what you think you want to try. Persecution never seems to have hurt the church much. It always seems to strengthen it and encourage it. And Christians, their testimony seems many times to be brightest when they are under the most severe persecution. So what the devil does, he'll try to join you. I'm one of you. I'm right with you. Let's all go on together. Let's do this together. If you knew how many people I talk to out there and run into out there who call themselves Christians and insist that they are Christians and insist that people like me are just, you know, bigots and just not tolerant and not loving, because I will not accept them as Christian. I will not extend the right hand of fellowship to them. Why? Because they don't know the gospel from anything. You know, if you gave the gospel to them, it means nothing to them. They're thinking in terms of brotherly love and getting all warm and fuzzy about helping out the guy over there and, you know, putting a pair of shoes on him. And we're all worshiping the same God, and God loves us all, and what difference does it make what we believe as long as we're sincere? Now, these individuals are surprised, many of them, and offended and angry, because I will not accept them as Christian. Right, I will not. I wouldn't yesterday. I won't do it tomorrow. If you're coming from that angle, I got news for you. You need to get saved. You are lost, and you need to get saved, because there is one gospel and one way into heaven, and it is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's Paul's gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is in believing that, and if you're trying to come any other way, you will hit hell harder than a ton of bricks. It's just that simple. But, of course, the enemy, he will always try to weasel his way in, won't he? He will always try to come in through the back door somehow and say, look, I'm just like one of you. Let's just all be friends and peaceable and love one another and blah, blah, blah. Here we have this man, Simon. Well, Simon was a big man in this city of Samaria, and the people here, They were afraid of him. I mean, he had bewitched them, we saw last time, for a long time with sorceries and so on and so forth. But these people believed Philip, and they believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were baptized. And we get a strange statement in verse 13. And I don't know quite what to make of this. But I'll just read it to you and let it say what it says. It says here that Simon himself believed, and he was baptized. Well, was he saved? Well, I don't know. Says that he believed, says that he got baptized. But then we begin to see some strange behavior out of Simon, don't we? Simon, it says here, continued with Philip and wondered at the miracles and signs which were done. The great miracles is the word in Greek, megalos, great miracles. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to say something about this. If you get saved today, you're not going to have someone come out of Jerusalem or out of anywhere to give you the Holy Ghost. I know there are churches out there who, you know, lay hands on people and say, receive the Holy Ghost, and they get it out of these early chapters of Acts. That is not what this was all about. You want to know why Peter and John had to come down from Jerusalem, these apostles, and lay hands on these people before they could receive the Holy Ghost? I'm going to tell you why. Listen to me carefully. It was because, among other reasons, that the Samaritans and the Jews were at such enmity with one another. There was such hatred between them. And what they needed to learn, these Christians at this time, was that they were all one in Christ, that they were a unity. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you want to know what it is, you can read of it in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It is that act whereby we as believers, as individuals, are baptized, a unity, into the body of Christ. And that is why if you are saved, you and I are in unbreakable union with one another and in unbreakable union with our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, in heaven. Now, these Samaritans needed to learn this, and they needed to learn it in such a way that they would remember it and not forget it. And this is why God had Peter and John come down from Jerusalem to lay hands on them before they could receive the Holy Ghost. They needed to understand this, and the people in Jerusalem needed to understand this, and Peter and John did this. Now, if you're in a church where some man, you know, performs some ceremony over you and maybe puts oil on you, and I don't know. There are all kinds of things going on in that, and says, well, now you have the Holy Ghost because it was passed on to me by apostolic succession, and I'm passing it on to you. If you're in a situation like that, you need to get in another situation. I couldn't make myself clearer if I were a buttonhook in well water. See? They came down, though, and notice we've got old Simon always hovering around, the devil's man always looking. And he saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, and he gave money. He offered money to Peter and John and said, here's some money, give me the power so that I can lay hands on people and that they receive the Holy Ghost. Well, Peter, it doesn't take Peter long to deal with this one. Doesn't take him long, does it? You want this power, Simon? The question is, why do you want this power? Is it to honor the Lord? Oh, no. No, it has nothing to do with the Lord's honor. It has everything to do with Simon's honor. He wants the power for himself. And unfortunately, we got a lot of folks like that out there now. They want to be the center of attention, and they want the power to be upon them, and they want this, you know, they're just about like old Simon here. Look at what Peter says to him in verse 20. He says, thy money perish with thee. Perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Well, the gift of God cannot be purchased with money. Whether we are talking about the free salvation that is ours through our Lord Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit that indwells all believers and brings us into a unity with one another, or anything else that God is doing in this world today, money has no part of it. It has nothing to do with it at all. And some of you out there, let me just be blunt, have been duped and deceived by individuals, slick-talking hucksters, who have convinced you that if you will send them a bunch of money, God will bless you for it. Do I have to be more clear than that? Do I have to name names? Well, I could if I wanted, but I won't. You get the point. Let me tell you something. Anyone who tells you, send me some money and God will bless you as soon as I get your money in hand, you want to avoid that individual like the plague. There is so much of this huckstering going on, this, you know, doing well by doing good or whatever you want to call it. People getting wealthy off God's people, fleecing the flock. You look out here, I was talking to a guy just last night, a little home Bible study that we're involved in and have been for many years. And he was talking about problems they were having in this church that he's in with their budget. And it's very interesting. A part of the problem is they built this big building that they couldn't afford, and the tail has begun to wag the dog. Well, I want to tell you something. There are a lot of people out here seated in buildings that they call the church, although the church is not a building, never was, never going to be. But it's called the church, and it's got a big steeple, and it's got fancy glass windows in it, and they are pumping money into this church, and there's all kind of stuff, you know, when in fact they would be much better off to take that money, meet in a rented hall, if that's what it comes to. I prefer the rented hall myself. Meet in the back room of a plumber's shop. But take your money and put it into sending the gospel out. Send out missionaries. Send the word of God out. Get this word out. These fancy buildings are a hindrance. They're an encumbrance. And look at this guy, Simon. Here's some money. I love what Peter says to him here. Your money perish with you. You think the gift of God can be bought with money? Get it away from me. You have, in verse 21 here, neither part nor lot in this matter. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Well, boy, I'll tell you what, he's got Simon's attention, doesn't he? Look what Simon says. Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come up on me. Listen to me, those of you who are out there in the business of fleecing God's people. Those of you who are out there making money off the well-meaning and kind-hearted people of God, those of you who are out there telling, you know, just send me a bunch of money and boy, the Lord will bless you, and you send me $10 and the Lord will give you back 20. Those of you who are doing this, I have a message for you from the Word of God. Listen to me closely. Your money perish with you. Your money perish with you. You are in the gall of bitterness, and you had better get down on your knees and repent, and I mean real quickly. And some of you need to get saved, just to be frank. You're in this business because of what you can get out of it, and you are working it and working the people of God. You need to get saved. That's your problem. And look at this Simon here. Boy, it scared him. Pray to the Lord that this not happen to me. Well, you want me to pray for you? I'll pray for you. But you had better stop what you're doing, and you had better quit letting the tail wag the dog. I mean, these organizations that you put together in the name of the Lord, and pretty soon, you know, the business is sucking up all the money, and people send in money, and it's going for administrative costs. You better stop it. Because I'm telling you, we will give an account of ourselves at the Bema of Christ. And there will be great loss at that time, and weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right. Now, enough of this guy, Simon. We are just about to the end of our broadcast. Let's look at verse 25 here. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So, you know, the branches have started to go over the wall, haven't they? That middle wall of partition that had separated these Jews and these Samaritans for so long has been broken down. God is doing something new, and it is a wonderful thing to see. What a wonderful thing to know that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ has not gone out to people because of their race, because they are Jews, or because they're Gentiles, or because they are one color or another, but it has gone out to all individuals. It has gone out to the world. God is doing a wonderful work today, and God is reaching out to some of you right now. I don't know who you are. I can't see your faces. I'm like that man scattering seed out there. I throw it out there. I cannot make the seed grow. I can't make it produce. That's up to God. But some of you who are listening to me are, I can assure you, not saved. You've never been saved. You may be a member of a church. You may be hanging around in a church. You may be hanging around Christians. You may be able to fake it real well. You may have learned all the right language. But in your heart, you know. You have never really believed the gospel. Well, my question to you is, why not? Well, I can tell you why some of you haven't. You don't want the Lord messing with your life. You don't want to give your life over to Him. He might rearrange it. Well, yeah. Yeah, He will rearrange it. He will change you. I want you to look at these individuals we've been considering in the 8th chapter of Acts. These Samaritans. These men, Philip, beginning with Philip and then with John and with Peter, they came down and proclaimed the gospel, and these Samaritans heeded. They listened. And they said, we believe that. That is true. And they took hold of Christ, and their lives were changed. Some of you who are listening to me, time is rushing on, and you are losing time, and you are losing your lives minute by minute, second by second. With every tick of the clock, you are hurtling toward a lost eternity. Friend, there's no reason for that. You don't have to do that. You can be saved right now. I am telling you that salvation is as simple as by simple faith believing the gospel message. Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again. You believe that? The Lord Jesus will save you and change you. Why don't you do that right now? This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.